Welcome to see everyone. Good morning. Thank you for being here so early. Do you all have the set of notes with you? If you don't have one, please just raise your hand and we'll get a set of notes to you. Okay. Well, once again, good morning. It is my joy to be here. Today, of course, the reason why I'm here is that Pastor is not around. He's still in Perth. He's actually there until Monday. He's coming back on Monday. Now, I must share with you this about the Lord's impeccable timing and leading. What happened in Perth was that Aldine had COVID. So she was out of action, basically. She couldn't attend all the meetings. And then on the 3rd of November, Pastor Chris also had COVID. Interestingly, 3rd November was Pastor Chris' birthday. So I'm not saying that God's impeccable timing led him to give to Pastor Chris COVID on his birthday as a gift. But it's impeccable because who know that they would get COVID? But yet, at the same time, Pastor arranged a trip there to Perth for ministry. So just nice, Pastor actually was there to literally substitute Pastor Chris in his time of sickness. So there was a seniors program. Aldine and Pastor Chris couldn't be there. So guess who took over? Pastor and Auntie Sally. So they as a pair, they really substituted two after two, right? And today, for worship, of course, Pastor usually speaks when he is there. But it's just as well, because Pastor Chris cannot be there. Has to be isolating at home. So the Lord's leading, it's truly wonderful. And to see how the Lord leads his ministries like this, not just in Singapore, but also internationally. Okay, so today, a few couple of things. I'll be ending slightly earlier because Auntie Geraldine is going to come and speak to the class. She's going to do HR recruitment we are starting our ministries next week. It's exciting. Next week, we're going to have the full course of meals, once again, breakfast and lunch. So worship will begin at 10:30. Class will end at 9:30 now, instead of 9:15. And we're going to have the full swing of things. So, chi chung fan, the carrot sticks, oh, I miss them so much. But we're going to have them, once again. But when that happens, we also always need a good set of people who can support such a ministry, and in terms of the washing and the cleaning. So I think Auntie Geraldine is going to come, and she's going to share with us a little bit of that ministry, and basically she's going to try to recruit you. Now, another thing, another point that I have to add as well is that when we're going to begin our worship, and you can see that our worship is almost back in full scale. So there's we occupy the level 2, the 2 amps, and sooner or later, the auditoriums will be filled. We do need ushers to help. So if you feel that you have the ability to welcome people with a bright smile, please look for me, and we'll try to arrange you accordingly. And it'd be nice to just get to know more people along the way and to basically make Bethany like home. So if they can see a familiar face, and maybe your face is the one that will lead a person to salvation. We don't know. We really don't know. Not the word only, but your smile and your words, okay? So don't discount that. Okay, now we have quite a bit of things to go through today. So let's get cracking. Let's go to God first in prayer and ask Him to bless this time. Father, we just thank You so much for this time that we have. We thank You for Your word. And Father, as we read Your word this morning, we pray that You will enlighten us. You'll encourage us through Your word, and You will convict us and cause us to grow deeper in our faith, cause us to grow deeper in our appreciation of You and the Lord. And Father, we just pray very much that we will learn to take greater steps of faith, especially with regards to trusting You. We commit this time into Your hands, and we pray that You will bless. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today we're going to read Psalm 55, and when Pastor left, he gave me this present. The present of teaching this Psalm 55. And I found that, to me, Psalm 55 is extremely difficult. Really, it is. it's like difficulty level 5. 5 upon 5. That's why it's 55 to me. So I must say, as we try to navigate Psalm 55, it is going to be a tough psalm. But, you know, there are important lessons still to be learned from this psalm. But before we continue, I'd like to just maybe give you an overview of what Psalm 55 is all about, and then explain why I find it extremely difficult. It's not just difficult, I find it extremely difficult. Let me just explain to you the psalm a little bit, and then we'll see why. Okay, so what is Psalm 55 all about? Psalm 55 is basically a prayer of David. Okay, and we read verse 1 and 2. It gives us a kind of a executive summary of what it is. Verse 1, give ear to my prayer, O God. That is obviously a prayer by David. So this whole psalm is a prayer. And do not hide yourself from my supplication. Verse 2, attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily. So this is what Psalm 55, as a start, this is what it is. It is a prayer of David. The idea is a contemplative prayer. He is processing his thoughts as he turns to God and prays to God. So there is a prayer part. There's a supplication part, which is a plea, a deeper cry to God. And it's also a complaint letter to God. You know, David is complaining. He is. Is that valid? Actually, yes. In prayer, we can actually speak to God like this. And that is the wonderful grace of God, that He hears our hurt, He hears our complaint. And of course, along the way, as you read later, there contains some element of imprecatory prayer, meaning that he's going to call for God to destroy his enemies. So that's why the psalm is actually quite tricky. So, okay, hang in there with me. But what is David struggling with as he prays? And the first thing is, of course, he struggles with wicked enemies. In verse 3, we read that a little bit. Now, the word because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. So these enemies, they are oppressive enemies to David, to his people. They brought much trouble upon David, and that's why you see he moans noisily. He's complaining because of the enemies. They hated him in wrath. Now, let's also look at verse 9 to 11. It describes these enemies a little bit more. Okay? So destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. So the part of here, I mean, there, you can imagine what's happening in David's city. There's a lot of words being thrown around, which is happening today as well. Comments are being made, not just comments, but malicious words are being used. And that's why the idea of the tongue keeps on coming up. And we experience that today as well, especially together with social media and all sorts of things. Words can really hurt a person. And these words are being used to hurt David. But not only that, it goes further. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. So this is what the enemies is doing. There's violence, there's strife. Day and night, these enemies, they go around the walls of David, the city of David. Iniquity and trouble are also in the midst of it. Destruction is in its midst. Oppression, deceit do not depart from its streets. So it gives us a very vivid imagery of what's happening with these enemies. There's the tongue that's being used. There's oppression. There's violence, not only just on the city walls, not only just on the outskirts of the city, but within the city. And how far into the city? Right on its streets. It is right there. The enemies do not seem to go away. It is so heavily involved with David and his surroundings. But what is the more challenging part to this psalm? And what exactly is David truly struggling with? Is it just enemies? And we read here that the thing that he really struggles with is betrayal. We read here, Okay? Now, verse 12. This is the hard part. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me. Then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me. Then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. Verse 14. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng. This was what David was truly struggling with. Betrayal. And it caused him so much hurt as compared to a normal enemy. So this is not just an enemy where he could fight, he could cause his generals and his armies against them. He could deal with them. In terms of enemies and destroy. But this was really a betrayal by a close companion, acquaintance, companion. People who went to worship together with him in the house of God. Now that was truly challenging. And it is not that these people are just outright betraying him. We read, how did this betrayal actually work? In verse 20, okay? He has put forth his hands against those who were at peace with him. So this he part is talking about the betrayer. Okay? He has put forth his hands against those who were at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. This betrayer has broken his covenant of friendship. That's the idea. So as friends, there is the covenant that is there, basically, a promises made to each other. He has broken them. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter. But war was in his heart. So this was how he was being betrayed. On the outside, it was not an outright betrayal. Okay, I'm going to turn against you. But he was being deceived. He was being schemed against. And it appeared everything was fine. But behind it all, this person was actually going against David. And we'll read later on, seeking to take David's life. Now, such a betrayal is, of course, extremely difficult. Now, but wars in his heart, the last part of verse 21, his words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Now, why would I say that this is so difficult? Because David himself actually struggled tremendously with this. For your own reading, there's a reference to Psalm 41 as well. So this was not the first time that David was actually speaking of this. In fact, Psalm 41 was written to talk about betrayal. Yet he revisits this idea of betrayal again. And it tells us that he could not get over it. It's something that it's so hard to get over. And we read, I'm just going to point you around the psalm, so at least we get to know the psalm a bit more first. How did he really feel? Verse 4. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness, trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. What did David feel like doing? So I said, I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and the tempest. No, David was willing to just run away from it all because that was how painful it was to him. So this is not the first time that David is talking about this. In fact, betrayal was it hurt him so deeply. He really could not get over it. And he had to write about it again. He had to pray all over again. And he had to organize his thoughts all over again with respect to the idea of betrayal. And let me just share with you why this is hard for me to teach this. And I must say that it is, before I continue, a bit of a preamble is that, have I personally experienced such a depth of betrayal? The answer is no. So I must humbly acknowledge and admit that the experience of David here is something that I have not experienced. And perhaps because of this, my teaching regarding this topic may be limited. But the point of it all is that we are here together as a class. And if you perhaps have experienced something like this, please share them with me so that I can learn from you. And we can all learn together along the way. And this is what it means to be the cloud of witnesses that is there, to support each other and to experience the pain with each other and learn from that experience as well. But regardless, I will try my best to open the Word of God to you to see what God has to say about this topic of betrayal. And hopefully we can, from this, gather important lessons that we can take back with us and relevant to wherever we may be. Okay? Now, I just need to explain. So, as we talk about, we're going to deal with this idea of betrayal. But it will help us a little bit to understand the whole background of it all, the historical background behind such a betrayal. And it is, the name of the betrayer is not explicitly said, but we can actually draw some conclusion to who that person is and the situation behind what happened with David. So that will give us a bigger clue to how to read Psalm 55. And then we can see the events that transpired that led David to write like this. And I need to ask you if you could turn to 2 Samuel. You will see this a little bit more. 2 Samuel 16. Okay? So bear with me as we try to add color to the psalm. So we can actually see the psalm in 3D as it is. Okay? Not just words. No. Okay, 2 Samuel 16, okay? Now, this was 2 Samuel 16, verse 15, okay? Let me just try to read for you. Meanwhile, verse 15, Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel was with him. So who is Absalom? Absalom is actually David's son. And David's son, the prince at the point of time, David was already king. His son sought to conspire against him, to take the crown from David. But is the betrayer Absalom? Well, not really. Because in David's eyes, of course, Absalom did betray David as son to father. But in David's eyes, who was the betrayer? Because for David, Absalom was still his beloved son. And he was still just caught up in trying to protect and preserve his son. But who was the betrayer? We read, it is their next name, and it's Ahithophel. This Ahithophel was one of David's trusted counselors. Okay, so it was. David's friend came to Absalom, and then long live the king, long live the king. So, okay, we read on, right? This is, it's quite tricky. Verse 20, right? Absalom said to Ahithophel, give advice as to what we should do. You see, Ahithophel's name was truly prominent in that time. He was a trusted advisor of David, and his advice, we will read later on, is like one of the oracle of God, basically meaning that whatever he said, he was so wise and so discerning, it seemed that it came from God himself, because he was able to predict what was going to happen. Whether it is in David's wars, whether it's in David's handling of the kingdom, he was able to advise so clearly and so expertly to such an extent that David succeeded and had victory. So this was Ahithophel's role. And Absalom recognized that. And so he sought to bring Ahithophel to his side in the conspiracy against David. And did Ahithophel join the conspiracy? Yes. So this is what he felt, okay? And Ahithophel said to Absalom, go in to your father's concubines, whom he has left to keep the house, and all Israel will hear that you are abhorred by your father. Then the hand of all who are with you will be strong. So he really understands the nation. He really knows how to Because at the point of time, it's like a civil war. Who will you stand for, David or Absalom? And what Ahithophel very astutely pointed out is that you need the support of the people at the point of time. And so he advised Absalom to do all these things, you know, to do all sorts of things in a public view so that they can gather support. So, I mean, go into your father's concubines and things like that. So they pitched a tent, verse 22, for Absalom on the top of the house, and Absalom went into all the father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. Now, verse 23, this is where we read, the advice of Ahithophel, which he gave in those days, was as if one had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the advice of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. So you can see that this was advice, the kind of advice that he gave to David that caused him to succeed. And now he was aligning himself to Absalom. So the person, as we try to match scripture, the person most likely, with regards to how David was writing, was this person called Ahithophel. That how he was betrayed to such an extent. So you can imagine, David's trusted counselor. He really trusted him all the previous battles, all the previous doings in regards to managing the nation. And now this person has turned himself against David. So this is the context. And just to fast forward the story a little bit more, what happened to Ahithophel? David had another friend inside, and there was Hushai. Hushai gave another set of advice to Absalom, and Hushai was actually undercover for David. Gave advice to Absalom. Absalom heeded the advice of Hushai. And once Ahithophel realized this, he knew that David will eventually win, and then he hung himself, and he killed himself. Because, see, that was how he understood things. Before the things even happened, he really could predict that it was going to be David's victory against Absalom and all the rest. And before he knew it, he knew that he had betrayed the king. He hung himself. He didn't wait for the judgment to fall upon him by the king. So this is Ahithophel. So just to fast forward what it is. Now the question is, as we read such a psalm, it is Israel's history, particularly David's history, is extremely complex. We can't just read, oh, it's this is the betrayal and that's it. It's not always the case. David's history is really difficult. Why? Because the next question that we must ask ourselves, was David really all that innocent? Then that helps us to understand the psalm a little bit more. Who was this Ahithophel? Why did Ahithophel turn against him to such an extent? And if you actually read further on, so you got a piece. I won't run through them with you exactly, but you got to piece parts of scripture together. And you would see that Ahithophel was the father of this person called Eliam. And who was Eliam father to? Eliam was actually father to Bathsheba. So Ahithophel was the grandfather of Bathsheba. And we know the story of what happened with Bathsheba. David saw her, lusted for her, even though she was married, had an affair with her, caused her to be pregnant, and then the husband of Bathsheba then, Uriah, David schemingly, right? He schemed against Uriah. He caused Uriah to place Uriah at the front, the battle where the heat of the battle was the greatest. Why? And he asked Joab to withdraw his troops while Uriah was fighting there. And David planned it as such so that Uriah would die in battle. And then David would take over the husband role of Bathsheba. And you see, now we can begin to understand, was David all that innocent? Actually, not really. And we can understand why Ahithophel acted the way he did, as he really went against David, because of what David had done to his family. Now, if you were to put pigtails on Ahithophel, pigtails on David, give them some kung fu moves, this is a Chinese drama, right? 我要报仇. The cycle of revenge is there. But if you think about it, it's actually not just Chinese drama. Obviously, it's Israeli drama as well. Or if I can extend it, it's human drama. This is what it means to act as humans. The human way is to take revenge. I will, because of what you've hit me with, I will hit back. And we read it everywhere. I was reading stories of Genghis Khan. And why Genghis Khan rose to such prominence was because he was simply merciless. He just went about to get whatever he wanted without any care for people. Of course, he was a great strategist. But he was merciless. He killed his own brother for the sake of food when he was a young man. His own son turned against him. He killed that son as well. Now, this is what revenge can be like. And it's a cycle of revenge that doesn't stop. Now, this is man's way of dealing with such things. What then is God's way? And that is the question that we must ask ourselves, even as we read this psalm. So, we see, this is man without God. Man without God will resort to all sorts of nonsense. Violence, cheating, striving, deceit. And if David did not have God in his life, he would also join in that whole cycle of revenge. But what made the difference for David? It is God. And that's why we will try to draw out relevant lessons for us. And so how should we then face such problems? And we need to look at how David approached these things. Let's go back to Psalm 55. And we'll see. Okay, let's try to learn a little bit more of what this is. Okay? Now Psalm 55 it starts here. Okay? The first thing that we want to learn very much is that when such problems hit us, and they will, as we deal with people, as you deal with the world, as you deal with wicked people, may not to the extent of them taking our lives, but we will deal with evil, for sure. What should we do? Or for that matter, any problems that come our way, what should we do? And it is not put aside or ignore these problems, but to turn to God. Let me just a quick read for you. This idea of Hebrews chapter 12. What happens when we try to, well, it's today's lingo, isn't it? Suppressed emotions, we just forget about it, let's do something else, let's distract ourselves. You know, don't worry about the problems. Well, the problems are tough, of course, but, you know, I just don't want to deal with it. What happens? Hebrews 12 gives us a bit of a clue, but let me just read it for you, and then you can see. Verse 12 here, and this is a difficult thing to see. In verse 14 and 15, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Verse 15, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by this many become defiled. See, that is a problem that the Hebrews writer is warning against. When you hide things, when you suppress all these difficult problems that may come your way, and you try to ignore it, you try to not think about it, what happens? A root of bitterness will come in the heart. And before long, a root, as we know what roots are, they will grow deep, they will grow strong, and if you want to remove it, it is sometimes almost impossible because it has gone so deep, and one day it can spring up and it can hurt everyone. So this is what we can learn, at least from the start, is that when these problems hit us, what should we do? And this is actually the book of Psalms. What should we do in the midst of problems? It's to learn to turn to God. Not to hide from these problems. Not to escape this problem. So David's idea of escaping, wings like a dove, right? That's what he felt. And we can understand that. But what did David do that is commendable at least? Is that he learned to turn to God. And I think this is something that all of us need to practice, to be more prayerful. Whatever problems that may come, whether you are feeling burdened, talk to God. Go to God in prayer. Speak to God. That is the point of it all. And the danger of not speaking to God and to keep all these suppressed emotions is the root of bitterness that can happen. And so this psalm at least teaches us what it means to call out to God in the midst of problems. Sigmund Freud is one of the, they call him the father of psychoanalysis. At his point of time, of course, we disagree with a lot of things, but some things that he said is actually, there is some truth to it. He talked about the subconsciousness. He talked about, you know, the superego, the it inside a person, and how if a person continually suppresses these things, it will just come out, whether in dreams or whatever it is. And this is what it is, to some extent. Beware the root of bitterness in the heart. And many people are unfortunately bitter because they hide these things. They don't talk to God about these things. And before long, the person himself is hurt. The people around the person are hurt as well. So beware of these things. But how should we turn to God then? Psalm 55 gives us a bit of a clue again. First, we need to read this part here, 16, okay? As for me. So we see a shift. Now, the interesting, as you read David, the Davidical Psalms, there's always a turning point. As he goes through all the different problems, as he complains all about them, there's a turning point. And where is the turning point in this psalm? Verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God. So this is the part we've been talking about. Call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening, morning, and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. And if we read these verses, these are actually steps of towards greater trust in God. First, there is the calling upon God. Make that step to talk to God, to call upon God. Then, how should we pray to God? This idea of ceaselessly. Evening, morning, and at noon. And evening starts with evening because that is how the Israelites, they see their day. It starts from the night. Evening, morning, and noon, ceaselessly. So pray, call to God, ceaselessly. And then, of course, he has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many against me. So this is still the context of enemies. But verse 22 helps us a bit further. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. So there is a calling to God. So talk to God, speak to God. Why? Because once we start, that helps us to at least conceptualize a problem a little bit more. Put it into words. Attempt to connect to God. Then, should we do it? Ceaselessly. And a greater step of trust. Now, cast your burdens upon the Lord. Cast your burdens that is there. The things that trouble you. You literally, it's a greater step of faith that, Lord, you take my burdens. And I think, personally, I've been trying to practice this very much. Of course, managing the family, being a father, managing work and ministry, and sometimes the heart can be burdened. And my challenge is to cast your burdens, cast my burdens upon the Lord. And then, what is the next step? Beautiful, this part. He shall sustain you, and he shall never permit the righteous to be moved. It's that as we cast our burdens upon the Lord, it is casting upon an immovable anchor for our soul. That is God. And he will sustain you. That is the confidence that we have. And he will not permit you to be moved. So these are steps. I mean, if you draw like a graph, right? These are steps to take in further and deeper trust towards God. There is the calling upon God, There is the ceaselessly praying to God. There's the casting of burdens upon the Lord. And moving on, the final part, or at least for this psalm, is the confidence in God, that He will not allow you to be moved. And this is what we can learn, at least, to call upon God. So how should we do it? These steps have been outlined for us. Now, as we come towards the end of the class, there is actually a big part that we still need to discuss. This was David's prayer at this point of time. Was he limited? Yes. Was he weak as a human? Yes. So we talk about David being man after God's own heart. But it was for that period of time. There were a lot of other problems that he had to go through. And you will see that more often than not, well, he loved the Lord, obviously. He loved God. And he was a loyal man to God, which is something not to be taken for granted. But we also see that he was a man of many failures. Now, what is our challenge today as we read this psalm? This was in the Old Testament. Is there something from the New Testament that we can learn from? And now the challenge here, we've kind of covered Psalm 55. Can we go beyond Psalm 55? And that's what we're going to try to do, at least for as we end. And it's this. There were obviously imprecatory elements in David's prayer. He called for the enemies to be cast down, to be destroyed by God. And while David was supposedly justified in doing this, was he justified? To some extent, yes. Right? Because he was hurt. He did, at that point of time, act righteously at that small epoch of time. He could call for imprecatory prayer. But can we go beyond that? Now, that is the beautiful part, in which now we turn from the Psalms and we look at the example, not of David, but of Christ. Because Christ actually also went through such betrayal. We know the story. Judas. So he knew beforehand already that Judas was about to betray him for 30 pieces of silver. In fact, it was prophesied already. But yet, the Lord Jesus knew from the start. And he knew that Judas would be one who would betray him. Yet, he still continued to care for Judas. He still continued to dip the bread and give it to Judas. He still continued to not reveal the identity of the betrayer, which is Judas. If not, the disciples were hantam, the fella, right? But that's how the Lord Jesus cared. How can we go beyond Psalm 55? We look to Christ. And it must point us to Christ. And how did Christ actually do all these things? And it's beautiful to sometimes when we go through the problems of betrayal, what do they actually teach us? And they teach us to appreciate Christ even more. Because Christ went through these things. And how did he come out of it? Remember on the cross? He said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." As he was brought to the Sanhedrin Council, we read that he did not protest. He did not raise his voice in argument. He accepted the fate that was before him. Isaiah, we read, he was like a sheep, silent before as is gone to be killed. Now, this is the beautiful part of Christ. And so, what is our response as we face such problems? First, of course, we must turn to God. To call out to God, as we have outlined already the steps. But can we go beyond? Can we learn to look to the example of our great Lord and practice this hard thing called forgiveness? It's so difficult, and that's why I humbly acknowledge that this psalm is truly difficult. Because betrayal and forgiveness, they are perhaps two of the hardest emotions that mankind has to experience. The hurt that is caused, and yet to go beyond that hurt to forgive the person who caused that hurt. But if forgiveness was so easy, we don't need the Lord Jesus Christ, right? It took the Lord Jesus Christ to come down to earth to show how to forgive. Because the forgiveness is truly challenging, and it is one of the greatest expressions of love. So as we read this psalm, we must also go beyond this psalm to appreciate Christ so much more. And so this is the challenge for the class as we close, is that, you know, we must be more prayerful in our lives. When there are problems, please turn to the Lord. Call out to the Lord. And if it's once is not enough, then do it ceaselessly. Evening, morning, noon. Till you reach the point where you can cast your burdens upon the Lord in confidence of what the Lord will do for you and sustain you. But that is one part of what we can learn. The other part is let us also appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if we cannot truly practice forgiveness, but we can appreciate our Savior who came to us to forgive us. And as we, this is the end of the year already, November, Christmas is coming. And even as I prepare for Christmas, this psalm stands out because it reminds me all over again how God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to reach out to us. We did not ask for forgiveness in the first place. Christ was sent to us to forgive us, to show us what it means to go back and return to God in love, without revenge. And this is God's way of doing it. It's not revenge. It's love. And it's for us to appreciate. So Christmas time, I appreciate the love of the Lord all over again. The love of God who sent the Lord Jesus Christ. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ himself who forgave all our sins. And this is our challenge, to appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, the harder part, the most difficult part, is if we can practice forgiveness ourselves. Very difficult, extremely. On the road, you see already, one person cut your lane, oh, very angry, right? Have I experienced that? Yes. I want to horn. And then, but, you know, I want to overtake the person. Now, this is just such a small matter. Is there forgiveness? No. Is there love? No. Is there imprecatory prayer? Well, not really. I cannot reach you. Oh, God, come on. Burst the car's tires. No. But the idea is that it is so human. This is the state of the fallen human. It is so human to turn immediately to revenge, to have our own way. Now, what is the spiritual man like? That is the challenge, to love, to forgive, just as Christ has done for us. And I'd like to end with this verse, Ephesians, as we close. And it's Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 31. Let me just read that for you as we appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 31, 32, chapter 4, it is here. Verse 31, we read, well, let all bitterness, we read the root of bitterness is there, right? Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. With all malice. Verse 32. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. As it is most challenging to do. But this is what we have been called to do as people who have been redeemed. We are God's people. We are meant to be different from the world. This is what Bethany is like, being tender-hearted, speaking to each other in love, and forgiving the Lord. And we read, of course, of all the different parables that are there. The person who has been forgiven of much also loves much. And we are reminded, as Christ has forgiven us, as God has forgiven us in Christ, that great amount of debt that we owe to God, what we do is just a fraction of that. And we've been called to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Okay, so I hope Psalm 55 is encouraging to you. And we will hopefully that you will take back some lessons from today's class. Okay, let's go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we just thank you for this time once again. We thank you for your great grace, the riches of your bountiful grace given to us as we see it expressed in the forgiveness of our sins. And we have done wickedly against you. We have done tremendous evil through the sins in our lives. But Father, we pray that you will help us to go beyond that, to learn, to grow deeper, to look to the example of Christ, that we can be found in the image of Christ as you have planned. And Father, we just pray that we will commit, learn to commit our lives in your hands in prayer, in supplication. And Father, we once again pray for each one who is here, each one who may be going through a difficult time, and we pray your special comfort will be upon them and that you will sustain him and not allow him to be moved. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.